This morning.
Real good.
Hey, somebody's awake. There we go. Good. Because, when we do this at 10:30, I'm going to gauge who's more awake, the 9 a.m. crowd or the 10:30 crowd. So, tell me who's had coffee this morning. It's good to be together. It's good to see so many of you here. Hi. It's just good to see people, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so today we're continuing in our series on Titus. As we previously explained, Titus is the name of the person who Paul left in Crete to appoint elders and to establish the church. Paul was going elsewhere, Titus left, and Paul wrote this letter to Titus to give him some instructions on what to do, how to do it, etc. And one of the insights that we have into this letter is that Crete, which is the place where Titus was left, isn't the best of places. In fact, when we look at that quote, which is in today's passage, that the Cretans are always liars, evil brutes, lazy gluttons. It just makes you say, oh man, and I want to go to Crete. Doesn't it? No. It might be a place that some of us would rather avoid, but Paul knows that the hope of the gospel transforms people. And so that's why he has left Titus in Crete to continue building the church. Because if anyone can come to Christ, no matter what your own prophets say about you. Okay? And just to put on our Crete hats for a moment, to think as they think, you might listen to the gospel and you might be thinking, this sounds good, but it doesn't sound achievable. I mean, honestly, who really lives that way? Is that even possible? So the people in Crete had their objections to the gospel, and just to give you an illustration to see some of the objections that people have, I want you to imagine four groups of people who are at the base of the cliff and are considering climbing. So the first group of people sit at the base of the cliff, and they point and they laugh at the people who are trying to climb it, going, what are you doing? Life is so much better down here, why bother? They're the people who are negative, who don't want to be shown that anything is better, and they don't want to be challenged. Okay, that's the first group of people. The second group of people climb the mountain a little bit, then they find a nice flat ledge, and then they go, oh, this is beautiful. Look at this. Look at this view. I can't hear those negative people at the bottom anymore. Life is pretty good. I mean, I could keep climbing, but this is so great. Do I really need anything else? And so they stop climbing the cliff. Then you've got your third group of people, and these are your die-hard climbers. These are your people who live and breathe climbing every single day. And they are so bent on climbing that that's all that they do. They climb up, they climb down, they climb left, they climb right, but because they're so focused on their own effort in climbing and being good at climbing, they don't actually make it to the top. They get lost along the way because they are convinced that it's all about them and what they are doing. Okay, so that's the third group. And then you have your fourth group that actually makes it to the top. And making it to the top is having that relationship with Jesus in this analogy. And when you make it to the top, you've got the people at the bottom who think you're a pretentious faker. You've got the people who made it to the ledge and they go, why can't good enough be good enough? Well, and then you've got the other people who are just your diehard climbers who are going, it can't be that easy. Okay? So those are some of the mindsets that people in Crete would have had. Those are some of the mindsets that Titus needs to challenge, because Paul knew that anyone in Crete could change because he himself had changed. We'll talk about it a little bit later. So the theme for today is that truth matters, and I'm going to give you three truths to focus on. All right, so no spoilers. We're going to jump into this passage. We're picking up from Titus chapter 1, and we're going to go verses 10 to 16. All right, so picking up in verse 10. For there are many rebellious people, full of meaningless talk and deception, especially those of the circumcision group. They must be silenced, because they are disrupting whole households by teaching things they ought not to teach, and that for the sake of dishonest gain. All right, so let's explain what this circumcision group is and what it was that they were teaching. Because in the law, in order to participate in things like the Passover and the High Holy Days and be in the closest court of the temple, you needed to be circumcised. So if you weren't circumcised, you were basically barred from participating in the holiest of activities in the Jewish religion. And so the people who are wandering around teaching that circumcision is the way that you get close to God, they're teaching empty religion. Okay? So the first truth is that religion isn't the key. The first truth is that religion isn't the key.
It's coming.
It'll think about it. Because it's not about our actions. Okay? And when we get too involved in that religious mindset, apart from the relationship to God, it creates two things that are evil: social segregation and isolation. It creates this mindset of the people on the ledge, where they start comparing themselves to each other and say, well, I'm just a little bit better than those people down there. Or you get the effort-driven climbers who say, you're only good enough if you work at it as hard as I do. Okay? Those teachings aren't of the gospel. They are lies that people use to make a profit. And it has nothing to do with Jesus. So Titus is told that he has to go in and he has to confront those things. Okay? And that brings us to our second point in verses 12 to 13. One of Crete's own prophets has said, Cretans are always liars, evil brutes, lazy gluttons. This saying is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply, so that they will be sound in the faith. Okay? The second truth is that you have to face your own stench. Okay? When Paul uses the word sound in the faith, that Greek word is the root of our word hygiene. We need to be clean, not from our own efforts, but from that relationship with Jesus and being cleansed by Him and having the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I just want to point out something really quick, that quote from the Cretans was, at the time of Paul's writing, was already 600 years old. So Titus is going into a very entrenched culture to create change. And as I said earlier, sometimes we look at something that we feel entrenched and feel is impossible, and we just go, I don't know, maybe that's, for someone else. But I want to point out why Paul had hope. Because Paul used to be an angry religious zealot. He used to be one of those people who literally went from house to house and threw people in prison. Okay, so I want you to imagine who that person is in your mind. Imagine the self-righteousness and the pride and the arrogance and the way that he communicated himself. Okay, transformed by Jesus, becomes the apostle of grace and peace, who suddenly has hope for anyone, regardless of what your own prophets have said about him. It's a huge difference. It's a huge change. So let's get to our third point. Verses 14 to 16. And pay no attention to Jewish myths or to the merely human commands of those who reject the truth. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. In fact, both their minds and consciences are corrupted. They claim to know God, but by their actions they deny Him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. To the pure, all things are pure. So when you've been transformed by Jesus, so third point, sorry, you have to be transformed. Okay? Paul and his religious life, that wasn't the answer. Living life with Jesus, living daily life Jesus' way, that is the answer. And that's why, you know, Paul can send Titus to every town in Crete to appoint elders. Because Paul knew, and Paul believed that every town in Crete had elders, people who had Christian character, or people who were capable of achieving it. Because Paul knows that the gospel transforms lives. And sometimes we take that and we overcomplicate it and we make it too hard. Think back to last week when Paul said that the quality of an elder was that he must be blameless and faithful to his wife. Sometimes we take that faithful to, you know, to your wife, to your spouse. We take it to mean that you must never argue with them. You must never raise your voice to them. You must never utter a word that should not be uttered. And then you go, but and if I do that, then I just can't be used by God. I'm worthless. It's just, you know, the self-loathing starts coming in. Okay, that is not the gospel picture of being faithful to your wife. The gospel picture of being faithful to your wife is that not seeing anyone else on the side, and you're not spending your time or money on prostitutes. It's achievable. It's simple. It's not overcomplicated. And that was one of the problems that they faced in Crete, is that there were, you know, plenty of Greek religions there, and plenty of people who wanted to confuse things and overcomplicate it, because when you don't have that transformed mind, you can't see it. You can't see it. And if you can't see it, how can you believe it? So, and if you can't believe it because you can't see it, it's probably because you haven't heard it, and no one's put those thoughts in to make you start thinking, man, is this really the best life possible? Is there something more? Because when you believe that there is something more, incredible change happens. And I've been studying Australian history lately, and every historian notes that the first generation of European-born Australians were not like their parents. The first generation of European-born Australians had hope in something different. And many of those kids were the children of convicts. And so you go, well, why wasn't, you know, the sin of the parents passed on to that next generation? Why? What made them different? Because certainly they would be more culturally accustomed, or more genetically predispositioned to do what their parents did. And the simple truth is that those kids were taught the gospel. They had people living it out. And so generation after generation after generation that came after them held on to the gospel and built this country on those values. Values where everyone had the opportunity for an education, to receive medical care, that everyone had an equal opportunity. Okay? Those values aren't an accident. They're the fruit of the gospel. Because when we start talking about the Christian life, yes, you know, we do, it needs to apply to us personally, but it also works itself out socially when we band together. That's why church is not something that's done in isolation. It's not about just being good over here. It's about being good together and sharing that with people, which is exactly what Paul wanted for Crete and what he wanted Titus to do in Crete. So I want to ask you a question. With all the terrible descriptors that we've put on Crete that come from them, not that Paul made up, what's the Crete in your life? What is that place in your life, that thing, that person, that place, maybe it's a postcode, where you just go, oh, I don't know. And I just want to ask you, have you given that over to God? Do you pray on God's behalf for it. Because I can guarantee you that Paul and the early church were praying for places like Crete, desiring that God change them and transform them. As God changed and transformed the people who were praying. Because the truth is, without the gospel, we are all Cretans. But God doesn't want to leave us in that state. So I want to ask you to pray with me. Okay, so Chris has got, I'm going to put some slides up. And I just want you to take a moment to take that thing in your life that you're saying, you know what, this is just really difficult and I don't know how to get through this. And I want you to pray into that space through these prayers. And we're going to, you can choose not to say them. You can choose to say them out loud. You can choose to do whatever you would like. But just take this moment and I'm going to read the prayer out loud. Our Father, who loves me dearly and eternally, bring me into your heavenly kingdom. Bring your heavenly kingdom down in the midst of suffering and pain, injustice and loss. Your will be done in me as I live out your will. Guided by your truth and those with Christian character around me, give me what I need each day to live Jesus' way. Forgive me my sins, and help me forgive those who sin against me. Lead me away from what is evil and untrue, for you have the power to conquer every fear and light to chase away every darkness. Work through me, transform me, and by your grace, show your truth that others may bring glory to you. Amen. God has a plan for us, no matter where we are, no matter what we're going through. We need to lean into him and lean into each other and support each other through these times and into seeing his kingdom come and being real. If you can't be blessed by all the time, it does happen. It is real, and that is the truth that matters. So I want to invite the children's band back up.